Today's daf is Chagiga Daf Dalid, and we are 7 lines from the top of Daf Dalid Amid Aleph, the two dots, the Tumtum, the Adroiginus, the Chulu. Today's daf is being learned, Le'ilu Nishmas, Shlomo, Ben Yibad, L'chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. And as a schos refor Shalemov, Avadi Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Avram Ben Gittel Adol, Sara Bas Yehudis Rechel, Sara Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Elazar Lipa Shalom Ben Fager, Rachel, Refalkas ben Fega, Baruch ben Rachel, Chaya Malka bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel bas Rachel Shendel, Meira Chava bas Shoshana, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Doiv Berel, Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So we're moving along at the very, very beginning of Masechtas Chagiga, the first sugya of Masechtas Chagiga, which discusses the mitzvahs Aseh D'Oraisa, which was noyeg bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, and that is shalosh pa'amim bashana yeira kol zechurcha as pinei ha'adon Hashem. 3 times a year, the Yidden had a mitzvah to embark on a pilgrimage to the makim hamikdash to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Masechta began with a very general statement, HaKol Chayavim Beriyo. Everybody is obligated in this mitzvah. Stating that, the Mishnah gave a long list of exceptions to the rule. Chutz, Mecheresh, Shoito, V'katon, V'tumtum V'adroginis, V'noshim, V'avodim, She'ena Meshachrorim, Hachiger, V'hasuma, V'hacholu, V'hazokim, U'mishe'ena Yochol, Lalois Baraglov. So today's daf is going to discuss the exceptions to the rule. It begins with a braisa, Tanu Rabbanu. It says in the Torah, Sholeish Pame Bashana, Yeiroe Kol Zechurcha. What does that mean? Zechurcha's miloshen zacher, literally. It means all males have an obligation to be mekayim the mitzvah of re'iyah. Says the Gemara, zacher lohitzias anoshim. From the fact that it says zechurcha, it means only men are obligated in this mitzvah, as opposed to women that parted from the mitzvah. Zechurcha, meaning it could have said shalish pamim bashana yeira kol zacher. Zechurcha, that's a extra loshen. And that is coming, Lahoitzi Tumtum Vajroiganis, to teach me that a Tumtum and an Adroiganis are also exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. It says, Sholish Pamim Bashana Yeira'e Kol Zechurcha. The word Kol is L'Rabbis. What is it coming to be? Marba. L'Rabbis has a Ketanim to teach me that Ketanim are Chayiv in the mitzvah of Riyah. So 3 halacha is related to the laws of Riyah that are learned out from the words Kol Zechurcha. Number 1, Lohitzi es Hanashim. Number 2, Lohitzi Tumtum Ve'adroiginis. And number 3, L'Rabbis es HaKtanim. Zok de Gemara. Amamar. Zochur Lohitzi es Hanashim. We have a pasuk, it says Zechurcha, and that's how we know that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah. Freak de Gemara, the most obvious question in the world. Halamalikra. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah? Mechti. Let's sit down and do a basic back of the envelope analysis. Mitzvahs esei shaz mangaramahu. The mitzvah of Riyah is a mitzvah aseh shas mangaram. It's a mitzvah that you mekayim 3 times a year, but during very specific times. And we know the rule: v'chol mitzvah aseh shas mangaram and nashim p'turos. We know that women are potter from all mitzvah aseh shas mangaram. So why would I need a special pasuk in the parsha of Re'iyah to tell me that women are potter? Zechurcha lohitzi es anashim, typically, based on the rules and regulations that govern all mitzvahs in the Torah, we already know that women are potter. It's a mitzvah aseh shas mangaramu. So the Gemara says, a geshmak keteretz, geshmak in light of yesterday's daf, and that is itzterech. No, there is a reason that we need a mitzvah. So could I mean, I would have thought, nelef re'iyah, re'iyah me'hakel. I would have thought that we should learn gzeirah shava, the laws of re'iyah, from the laws of hakel. We saw very much on daf gimel that the laws of re'iyah and the laws of hakel are very much related to each other. Therefore, I would have thought, ma'la halonoshim chayavos, just like women are obligated in the mitzvah of hakel, afkan noshim chayavos, maybe here too, when it comes to the mitzvah of re'iyah, women should be obligated as well. Kamash malon, that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that don't think that women are chayiv because they're chayiv in hakel. Yeiroi kol zechurcha lohitzi es hanoshim. Amamar. The Braisa continued and said zechurcha, the extra endachaf, is lohitzi tumtum ve'adroiginis. Now just to review, what's a tumtum and adroiginis? So from a high level, they're the same. They both go down as people that are neither men or women, rather safik, meaning Chazal were not sure whether a tumtum and adroiginis are zachar or they're nekeva. And that's why in halacha, they're almost always treated as safik zachar and safik nekeva. However, the metzias of a tumtum and the metzias of an adroiginis Toyganis are different. A tumtum is someone that we just don't know whether this person's a zachar or whether this person's an akeva. The aver that would determine is covered, and as a result, there's no way to know. As a result, this person might be a zachar, might be an akeva. We just don't have an ability to find out. Additionally, you could have two tumtums. One might be a zachar, the other one might be a nekeva. It's just that we don't know, and as a result, we have to treat this person as a tumtum. An adroigenus is different. An adroigenus is someone that has simonim of a zachar and simonim of a nekeva. So an adroigenus is not so much a suffix in metzias, it's more a suffix in halacha. How do you treat in halacha a person that has the simonim of a zachar and that has the simonim of a nekeva? So again, from a high level, tumtum and adroigenus are the same, but when you go through the sugyas, they're actually very, very different. As it relates to our Gemara, Zechurcha is Lahoitzi Tumtum ve'adroigenes. Both a Tumtum and an adroigenes, they're potter from Riyah. So the Gemara says like this, Bishleim adroigenes, Bishleim adroigenes, it's terich. I need a pasik to be a memayit. Why? Because I would have thought, Hove is leitzad zachros. Being that an adroigenes, what's the mitzias? He has simonim of a zachar and he has simonim of a nekeva. But he has the simonim of a zachar. So therefore, you would have thought he's included in the mitzvah of Riyah, which is talking to the Zacharim. If he has simonim of a zachar, so maybe he should be included. L'chayiv, kamash malan, that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that he's pater. Why? He has the simonim of a zachar. True, but he also has simonim of a nekeva, and therefore, the beria b'fnei atzmayu. We look at him as a beria b'fnei atzmayu, neither zachar or nekeva, and if the Torah says zachorcha, he's going to be excluded. El a tumtum, but a tumtum, why do I need a pasuk to be mamayit? Sveikahu, all a tumtum really is a suffix, meaning he's either a zachar or a nekeva. I don't know. So essentially what you're telling me is that when you don't know, I need to tell you that you're potter. It's through krala mute sveika. Do I need a pasuk to tell me that if it's a suffix, you're potter? Rashi, bitmiya, lamali kra. Why would you need a pasuk for that? Why would you think that someone that's a suffix should be chayiv? That's the Gemara's kasha. Interesting, right? The Gemara says, if you have a person without a pasuk, suffik whether he's chayiv in ri'i or not chayiv in ri'i, I shouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that he's chayiv in ri'i, because if all he is a suffik, it should be obvious that he's potter from ri'i. What happened to the halacha of sveika d'iraisa l'chumra? If sveika d'iraisa is l'chumra, then I certainly would need a pasuk to teach me that the tumtum is potter, because without a pasuk, I would have thought he's chayiv. At first glance, this Gemara would seem to be a festa makar to the Shitas HaRambam, Kiyodua, that says that Sveika Deiraisa L'chumra is in and of itself only a Dinder Rabbanan. But Mideiraisa, even Sveika Deiraisa, you go L'kula. But that's a whole nother discussion. So what's the short version of the Gemara's Kasha? I need a Pasik Lohitzi Tumtum and Adroiganis, Bishleim Adroiganis. I understand why I need a Pasik. But why do I need a Pasik Lohitzi Tumtum? I'm Rabbias. Rabbias said, you're right. The Pasik that the Bryce is bringing is not coming to exclude your ordinary Tumtum, but rather it's coming to exclude a different type of tumtum. Kishabetz of Mibachotz. This is a tumtum that you know really is a zachar. And the reason you know he's a zachar is because his beitzim are Mibachotz. They're exposed. They're not covered. So what is covered? The gid is what's covered. The point is, you know he's a zachar. Therefore, you would have thought that he should be included in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, Kamash Malon, that being that his gid is covered, even though really he has beitzim, so l'chura, you know he's a zachar, but still he has a din of a tumtum, albeit your unconventional type of tumtum, lahoitzi as a tumtum is referring to that type of tumtum. Amar Mara, the Braisa continued and said, kol zechorcha l'rabbi sesaktanim. So again, zechorcha lahoitzi as hanashim, zechorcha lahoitzi tumtum v'adroigenis. Kol zechorcha, the word kol is not moitzi, it's marba. What's it coming to be marba? Ketanim, fake the Gemara. A katan is included in the mitzvah of Riyah. The Mishnah said not that way. V'atanan chutz micharashayit v'katan. Didn't the Mishnah say hakol chayavim b'Riyah? And then you had a whole list of exceptions, and the first exceptions were the charashayit and the katan. Rabbi Abayi said, like, gosh, kam b'katan shagil achinuch. Kam b'katan shagil achinuch. The Mishnah that excluded the katan is the katan that was lohigi alachinuch. The Braisa that includes the katan is referring to a katan that's already of the age of kichinuch. If that's the case, the whole mitzvah of chinuch is only a mitzvah derabbanon. The fact that a father has a mitzvah to mechanuch his children is not a mitzvah deraisa, it's a mitzvah derabbanon. So what's the kasha? Kol zechorcha l'rabbi sesaktanim sounds like it's a drasha. It sounds like it's a din d'iraisa. If we're talking about a katan only sheigi al chinuch, which means the only reason the katan has an obligation is because the father really has the obligation to be mechanechim. So it's a din of chinuch. If it's a din of chinuch, then it's a din derabbanan. The Gemara says, you're right, it's a good question. Ein hachinami. You're right, all it is a din derabbanan. Aye, we brought a pasuk. V'kra asmachta ba'alma. And the pasuk is only an asmachta ba'alma. So kol zechorcha, the purpose of the word kol is not really coming the rabbis hasaktanim. It's an asmachta for a din derabbanan. So the Gemara says, v'ela kra l'mayasa. So then what is the pasuk coming for? What's the word kol really coming to be marba? L'kida acherim. It's coming to teach us something that Acherim, also known as Rameir, said. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Acherim Oimrim, Acherim said, Hamekamets. So Rashi says, Hamekamets is somebody that gathers the tsoya of dogs for commercial purposes, but either way, that's the line of work that he's in. Vahamitsarif Nechoshes, somebody that refines copper. Vahabursi and a tanner, Pturim in Aria. All these people are Patim in Aria. Not mentioned in our Mishnah, but they're all Patim in Aria. What's the reason? Mishum Shenemer, because it says, all the males should go up and be oil rego. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like in a perfect world, there would be a scene where kol zechorcha, every single yid, is walking together and they're schlepping their animals and they're embarking on this mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Here's the problem. Misha yachal lali some kol zechorcha. If that's the case, the only time someone's obligated in the mitzvah of re'iyah is if this is a person that can travel together with a larger group of people. Yatzu elu. With the exception of these three, she'enam ru'uyin lalis im kol zechorcha, they cannot travel im kol zechorcha. Rashi says, why? Bichol elu reichon ra, because they don't smell good, based of what it is they do 9 to 5, ve'en yechaylam lalis im chavei reyem, and no one's going to want to travel with them, no one's going to want to sit next to them, and as a result, this is a real chiddush, this drasha, they're excluded from the halacha of yirah kol zechorcha. So just to recap, we had a braisa, a very geshmaka braisa. It says in the Torah, Shalish Pama Bashana Yeirai Kol Zechorcha. Zechorcha Lahitzi Es Hanashim. Zechorcha Lahitzi Tumtum Vadraginis. Kol Zechorcha L'Rabbi Sesaktanim. Zechorcha Lahitzi Es Hanashim. Of course, Nashim Apater. It's a mitzvah Sesh as Mangaramo, and women Apater from every mitzvah Sesh as Mangaramo. Why is this different than Shofar? Why is this different than Sukkah? Why is this different than any other mitzvah Sesh as Mangaramo? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because we know there's a hekish, there's a comparison between the mitzvah of Ri and the mitzvah of Hakel. And I would have thought that being the women Achayiv and Hakel, Noshim va'anoshim v'taf, anoshim lumoid, noshim lishmaya, taf litein tzchayelim mevi'eim. But we know women are chayv and hakos, you would have thought they're chayv and real. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that they're not chayv. Zuchur kolohoitzi. Tumtum va'adroigenes. Adroigenes, as the Gemara, I understand. But tumtum? Why do I need a pasuk lohoitzi as a tumtum? A tumtum's a suffix anyways. Sveika deraisa sounds like lakula. Of course a tumtum is pater. The Gemara says we don't mean a regular tumtum. We mean a tumtum kishabetza mibachot. Even that tumtum is going to be pater. And finally, call the rabbis as aktanim. What kind of cotton? Obviously, a cotton shegi al chinuch. Chinuch is only a derabanan. You're telling me there's a pasik? The rabbi says aktanim. That's interesting. The one says no. All it is an asmach de ba'alma. And really, call the rabbi says aktanim is not a din deraisa. What then is call really coming to teach me? It's coming to be memaet. Hamekamets, v'hametzarif nechoshes, v'habursi, that all these people are potter. What's the drasha? Someone that can go with kol zechorcha. But if you're someone that, if you're traveling with a group of people, people are going to start moving to the other side of the aisle, you're not kol zechorcha, and as a result, you're going to be exempt. Moving along. The Mishnah said, noshim, a potter from Re'iyah, v'avodim she'inam eshuchrarim, and avodim that are not freed. Zok the Gemara, bishlem and noshim, bishlem and women are potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, k'd amaran. That's what we just said. Why they potter? Zechurcha el avodim inol, and how do you know that an eved is potter? Amar Rafuna makro. So Rafuna said it's learned out from the following pasuk, el p'nei ha'odin Hashem. The mitzvah of Re'iyah is to see your master. Mishne'in lo yelo odin achad. Someone that has only one odin, he has a mitzvah. But yotzezesh yesh lo odin achar. But someone that's an eved kanani, he has another odin. And because he has another odin, therefore he's excluded. Freik the Gemara, another obvious question. Halam alikra, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that an eved kanani is potter from Re'iyah because he has more than one adoin mechti? Again, let's make a very simple back of the envelope cheshbon. Kol mitzvah she'isha chayeves bo, eved chayev bo. Any mitzvah that a woman is obligated to do, an eved kanani is obligated to do. And kol mitzvah she'inisha chayeves bo, in eved chayev bo. And any mitzvah that a woman is not obligated to do, an eved kanani is also not obligated to do. And why is that? The gomar la la me'ishna. It says la by isha, the kosav la sefer krisos, and it says la in the parsha of an eved, it says oy chufsha loy nitan lo, and this is one of the most famous gzeirah shavas in Shas, and we learn that the halachic status of an Eved Knani as it relates to mitzvahs is the same as the halachic status of an Isha as it relates to mitzvahs. So once I know that a woman is potter, so of course I know that an Eved Knani is potter. Why do I need a special drush? I'm Rabinus, Rabinus Adlai Nitzrucha. You know what the drush is coming for? L'misha chetzio yeved v'chetzio ben chayrin. An Eved Knani, that's a full-fledged Eved Knani, he's like a woman. And Lola Meisha would tell me that he's potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. But what about someone that's a chatzi yeved and a chatzi ben chayrin? What would be the halacha over there? Based on Lola Meisha, you would not be able to exempt them. Therefore, I need a new makar, that someone that has one adoin is chayiv, but someone that has another adoin, albeit a chatzi adoin, but that's enough to say that he's going to be potter. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, I'll bring you a raya that when the Mishnah says avodin, it doesn't mean your traditional Eved Kanani. But rather what it means is a chatzi Eved chatzi ben chayr. And the Gemara brings a very geshmaka raya. Why? The Ketani, what did the Mishnah say? Nashim v'avodim she'inon mishuchrarim. So the Gemara says, my she'inon mishuchrarim. What does it mean that the Eved is not free? Ilay m'she'in mishuchrarim klal. It doesn't mean he's not free at all. Meaning he's a full-fledged Eved Kanani. Listen, avodim stamo. Let it just say Eved. Throughout Shas, whenever the Tana wants to tell you Allah about an Eved, what does he say? Eved. Avodim she'inon mishuchrarim. A pnuya is a woman that's not married. An Eved is a person that's not freed, obviously he's an Eved. So just say that he's an Eved. El Olav, you know what? Those extra words must be coming to tell me. What we mean is not that he's Einon Mishuchrorin Klal, but rather, She'enon Mishuchrorin Legamri. What the Mishnah is saying is that if you have an Eved that he's not entirely free, Umay Ninu, what does that mean? He's a Chetzio Yeved V'Chetze Ben Chayrin. Even he's going to be part. Oh, Shmami, no, that's a Klara Raya, says the Gemara. Dekanami, that when the Mishnah says Avadim, it doesn't mean you're full-fledged Eved. Rather, it's talking about a Chetzio Yeved Chetze Ben Chayrin, and that's why Rav Huna needed a new source. That's why Rav Huna says, you want to know why I never can't, he's part. I can't just tell you he's potter because he's an Eved and an Eved is like an Isha. Because the Eved that's like an Isha is a full-fledged Eved. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin, that's a little bit more complex. Kamash Malon, that even the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin is exempt. And what's the Makar to teach me that he's exempt? Because of the fact that he has more than one Adoin. And it says in the Torah, go visit your Adoin. This is your only Adoin, as opposed to the Eved that has another Adoin. And for that reason, he doesn't have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Mishnah continued and said that a Chiger, a Suma, a Chayla, and a Zokain, they also have him. They're also potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. Zok the Gemara Abrais, a ton of Rabbanim. It says Shalosh Regalim. Now, usually, when you think of the word regalim, you're thinking of a yontif. But regalim also means feet. And we learn from there, prat lebali kavin. Someone that has a prosthetic, that person is exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah, because he doesn't have a natural regal that's getting him to the Beis HaMikdash. Dover achar, regalim, prat lechiger, someone that's lame, ulechayla, ulesuma, ulezakein, ulesheina yachal lalis beraglav. Says the Gemara, ulesheina yachal lalis beraglav basuye mai. What's that coming to include? Mentioned in the Braisa. It was also mentioned in the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah after mentioned all these people, specifically people that have a difficult time walking, and then it says also someone that's ina yachal lalis beraglav. What's coming? What's that coming to include? On my Rava said lasuye mefanki. It's coming to include a mefunik. So what does that mean, a mafonik? Rashi, she'ein holchem b'loy minol. This person can't walk around without shoes. And we say this all the time. We take for granted that shoes play a very different role today than they once did. Today, shoes are obvious. Once upon a time, it was a little bit more of a luxury. And there was a concept of a mafonik. He has a hard time walking around without shoes. Azazort mensch is also potter from Riyah. Why is he potter from Riyah? It's because in the Beis HaMikdash, you weren't allowed to wear shoes. And being that this person is a mafunik, and it's going to be very hard for him to spend time in the Azara not wearing shoes, he's exempt. Now, how do you know in the Beis HaMikdash you weren't allowed to wear shoes? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Ki savayu lirais panai, mi bikesh zois miyetchem remois chatzera. So this is a Pasuk in Chazon Yeshayo that we read on Shabbos Chazoin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Yidden through the Navi Yeshaya that the Jews had fallen to a point where when they came to be Oyel Regel, Hashem says, I wasn't interested. So what wasn't Hashem interested in? He wasn't interested in the Remois Chatzeroi. Now, Remois sounds like they're trampling, they're wearing shoes. And what Hashem is saying is that I don't want people trampling in my Chatzer, in my Beis HaMikdash. This is the Makar, you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash, you have a person that's a mafonik, he finds it difficult to walk around without without wearing shoes. Amazingly, he's exempt from the mitzvah. That's a real bona fide ptur. He's potter from the mitzvah to be oiler regel. Zok the Gemara Tana. Nocha b'raisa, related to who's excluded from the mitzvah of aliyah regel. Tana, we learned to the b'raisa. Ha'aro v'atame, ptur minaria. Someone that's an arel, someone that's not circumcised. And Rashi says that the reason he's not circumcised is because he had brothers that died machmas milah, and the halach is if someone has brothers that died machmas milah, he's not allowed to give himself a bris milah, because bris milah is not a mitzvah that's doicha a person's life. It's not one of the gimel averus chamur. So this person is an oral, not by choice, but halacha says that he's not supposed to have a bris milah. And a tameh, someone that's tameh, they're potim in aria. Now one thing, someone that's an Oral and someone that's a Tameh obviously can't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel in the traditional way. The reason is because a Tameh is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh of 101, and even an Oral, as we're about to see, the Tana this Braisa holds, was also not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. The Chiddush of Ha'Oral V'Tameh P'tur Min Ariyah is that they're even Potter from bringing the Karbin Ariyah. That's the Chiddush. They can't go, and therefore they're Potter. So the Gemara says like this, Bishleim the Tameh, Bishleim the Tameh the Chsiv, I understand. Uvasa Shama V'Havei and the mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash are juxtaposed. And we learn from there, any person that's able to go to the Beis HaMikdash, he can bring karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. But any person that can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, he's not obligated to bring karbanos either. Thus, I understand why the Tomei is potter from Re'iyah. Ella Aril Minalan, an Aril? An Aril's allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you can go to the Beis HaMikdash, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, Amani Rabbi Akiva, it's going according to Rabbi Akiva, the Marbi Aril Katami, who holds that an Aril is like a Tomei, and just like a Tomei can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, therefore he can't bring karbanos either, so too, an Aril's the same way. Where is this Rabbi Akiva? A Braisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Akiva. I mean, Rabbi Akiva said, Ish. It says in the Parsha of Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav that a Tomei, that's Ish is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Ish feels like there's a drasha here, right? It's a little wordy. Rabbi Akiva said it is. It's coming to be Marben Aral. An Aral like a Tomei is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. If you can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, you're potter, obviously, from the basic mitzvah of Re'iyah, but you're also potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, which is bringing karbanos. Tana Rabban and another price. A Tomei potter from Re'iyah. Tomei is potter from Re'iyah, the Chsiv, Uvasa Shama. Any person that's allowed to enter the Makom Mikdash has a mitzvah to bring the carbon. But any person that can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't have a mitzvah to bring the carbon either. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy said another halacha. Shum Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Suma ba'achas me'ena potem in Ariya. Someone that is a suma in one eye, he's also potem from Ariya. Shenemar yire yeroy. It says yeroy. That's the Cree. It's written as if it would say Yira, that's the Ksiv, and we darshan that even though the Ikur mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time Yira you're supposed to see as well, and therefore we also darshan that Kederach Shebal Lirois Kach Bal Lirois, that you're supposed to see the way you're seen. Ama Bal Lirois B'Shtei Einov, just like when a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he's seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shtei Einov. This is, of course, Derech Mashal, but Hashem is seeing the person perfectly. So to the person has to be able to see in the most perfect way. That's an imperfection. And based on this drasha, we learn that the person's going to be potter. Incidentally, one thing before we go weiter. So on the bottom of the Amid Aleph, Daftal and Amid Aleph, the Gemara said that a Chiger, a Chayla, a Suma, and a Zakein are all excluded because it says Regalim. Shalosh regalim, which sounds like you have to be able to walk. Therefore, we exclude the chiger, the chayla, the suma, the zakein, and the she'ina yachal alis beragla. So pashup shah, a chiger is excluded from regalim. We understand. A chayla, if he's not well, he could be excluded from regalim. A zakein, he's too old. It's hard for him to go. And ina yachal alis beragla, that's self-explanatory. He's excluded from regalim. Why is a suma excluded from regalim? What does regalim have to do with a suma? His feet are fine. So the teretz is pashit. The teretz is because it's hard for him to walk by himself. He needs somebody to help him. And because he needs somebody to help him, he's also excluded from regalim. Meaning regalim means the person's able to get there naturally. And because this person needs assistance, that's why he's excluded. That's just the setup. But let me ask you a follow-up question. And that is, why do I need a pasuk of regalim to tell me that a suma is pater from re'iyah? If the mitzvah of re'iyah is to come see the Shechina, Kaviyachol, so of course a suma is excluded. Can't say. What's Pashup Shad? I need regalim? He's tripping up on a technicality? That's why he's exempted from re'iyah? He's exempted from re'iyah because he can't physically be mekayim the mitzvah. But the teretz is Pashup. The Torah says the mitzvah of Re'iyah was le'ra'is, to be seen. We darshan yira ye'ra'ah based on the ksiv of the pasuk that there's also an Indian to see. But really the ikur mitzvah, I think, was not to see, but it was to be seen. So a suma could be seen, he just can't see. Kamash malon, regalim, that he's going to be exempt. Now there is a mandama that darshan yira ye'ra'ah, and according to him, anachanami, a suma ba'achas me'en of his potter based on that, and certainly a suma b'shtein of would be potter. But it's possible that there could be a mandomer that holds that based on the fact that it says shalosh pamim bashana yeira, that in and of itself doesn't by definition mean that the sum is excluded from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Why not? Because the mitzvah of re'iyah is to be seen more so than it is to see l'chura. Either way, this concludes the real aliyah l'regel part of today's daf. From here until the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to digress, and this digression is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, and we're going to have some of the most famous agadah to Gemaras in Shas. From here, really, until the bottom of daf Hey Amid Beis, I mean, these Gemaras, again, are afachba, vafachba, the kulaba. Unfortunately, we don't even have a fraction of the amount of time that we need to do this justice, but we'll do what we do. Zokta Gemara Vaita, Rav Huna, Kimati Lahaikra, Rav Huna, when he would come to the following pasuk, which pasuk? Yira Yeira Ebochi. So Rav Huna, when he would come to the pasuk in the Torah that says, Sholish Pamim Hashana Yeira Kol Schurcha, which, by the way, it says it in the Torah three times. So Rav Huna, whenever he would come to this pasuk, he would start crying. He would get very, very emotional. Why? Omar, he would say, an Eved who his master wanted to see him so badly that he gave him a commandment three times, that three times a year you should come visit me. All of a sudden, Yisrachik Mimenu, he should come to the point where he already doesn't want to see him anymore. Where does it say that Hashem didn't want to see the Eved? Dechsev, Chazon Yishayo, the time of the Churban, Kisavayu Lira Yitzponai, Mi Bikech Zois Mietchem, Rimois Chatzair. All of a sudden Hashem says, I don't want to see you anymore. So Rav Huna, when he would see the Pasuk of Aliyah L'Regel, he would get very emotional. It's interesting that Rav Huna got emotional not when he read the pasuk in Yeshaya, Chazon Yeshayo, but he's reading the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and Rav Huna's living after the Zman of the Churban, and he's living Chazon Yeshayo. Now he's reading a pasuk. Wow, there was once a time where Hashem had sich gebanked. He wanted to see us so badly, and he was bochi, he would cry, he would mamish choke up, because he was so overwhelmed of where the Yidden were, and unfortunately, how low they had fallen. The Gemara says similarly, the Rav Huna kimati laikra bachi. Rav Huna, when you come to the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham." You should shecht karbanei shlamim, and you should eat it where? In Yerushalayim. So Rav Huna said, "Eved shirabi mitzapa lechel al shulchanoi." An eved whose master so badly wanted a shira meal with him. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, bring karbanis, eat it together with me in the Beis HaMikdash, Yisrachik mimenu. He should come to a point where he doesn't want to see him anymore. D'chsev lomali roiv zivchechem yoyim Hashem. All of a sudden Hashem says, I don't need all your karbanis. I saw Rav Reuven Margolis in his Netzoy Tzeyar. He says, why is it that Dafka Rav Huna was the one that got all choked up when he came to these two psukim? Right, they're very similar. It's the same concept. The concept is you have an Eved who once had this very close relationship with his master. Sholish Pamim Bashana Yeirah. Come, bring the shlamims and let's eat it together. And now all of a sudden, mi bikesh zois miyetchem rimois chatzeroi, lomali roiv zivchechem yoymer Hashem. So Rav Reuven Margolis says, he thinks it's not rochik, that maybe the reason this affected him so much is because he had experienced something like this in his own life. We talk a lot about the Gemara above the Metziah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and Perek Eilu Metzias, where the Gemara says, Rav Huna had a Talmud Rav Chisda. He was his Talmud Mufik. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, two of the great Amoraim of all time. And there was a little bit of a sichsuch, and the Gemara says as a result of that, for 40 years, Rav Chisda did not visit Rav Huna. Now, it's interesting because we once spoke out a long piece from Rav Reuven Margolis that Rav Reuven Margolis says there was a typo and it wasn't really 40 years, but that's for another day. But the Gemara says, the way we have it in all the Shasin, is that for 40 years, Rav Chisda didn't visit Rav Huna. And he said that here, Rav Huna once had this relationship with his great Talmud, Rav Chisda, and now 40 years, they're parted ways. And he says he thinks that maybe when he would see this pasuk and think of this idea, he would get emotional thinking about his own personal experience mit sein eigene Talmud, that he was once, they were sitting on the same shulchan, and for whatever reason, they had separated, they had parted ways. He says maybe that's why it was Rafuna more than the other Amayram, that this had an impact on Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says, we mentioned Rafuna, there were two psukim that when he would come to these psukim, he would cry. Why are we talking about this? Because the first one's related to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So we digress now, we do what we do, especially in Agadat the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to bring different psukim that different Amayram would cry when they came to. That's the connection between all these Gemaras. Rabbi Elazar, kibbalt like Rabbi Achi. Rabbi Elazar, when he would come to the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Yosef Alechav." Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers, and he tells them, "Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Tell me, ha'oid avichai, is my father still alive?" And the pasuk says, "V'lo yachu echav la'anu Yosef." His brothers couldn't answer him, "Ki nivalu miponav," because they were so afraid. So Rabbi Lozman would say the following: "Umat toychacha shal basav adam takach madach." When a basav adam gives you toychacha, you could be at a point where v'lo yachu echav la'anu Yosef. These are the Shvatim, they were Kedoshim, they were Chachamim, and they were speechless. They couldn't say anything. Roshei Medabrim B'chol Makayim, but they were stumped. Ki Nivalu Miponav. They were embarrassed. They had nothing they could say. Could you imagine then, Teichacha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alachas Kama V'Kama, that what's going to be when a person hears Teichacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's interesting. It's mavur in this Gemara that when Yosef told his brothers, Ani Yosef Ha'oid Avichai, it was Teichacha. He was giving them Musar. And the truth is, it's a medrash, a very, very well-known medrash. The medrash says, "V'lo yachlu echav la'anu yisoysay, abekoyim bardola amar." Abekoyim bardola said, "Oylonu miyoy madin, oylonu miyoy ma teichacha. Hado d'chsev, v'lo yachlu echav la'anu yisoysay, ki nivalu miponav." K'sheyove HaKadosh Baruch v'yachiyah kolecha v'echa l'fi mashahu. When HaKadosh Baruch is going to come, he's going to give everyone Musar, alachas kama v'kama. Can you imagine how challenging it's going to be? So the Medrash says what the Gemara says, and that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, when Yosef was talking and he revealed himself to his brothers, he said, "Ani Yosef ha'oid avichai." What he was essentially doing was he was giving them Musar. And every single Sefer on Chumash from the beginning of time has asked the same question, and that is, what was the Musar Shmuz? What did he tell them? He said, "Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef ha'oid avichai. Tell me, now let's talk tachlis. I don't know if you were telling me the truth. I mean, you didn't talk much about me, so clearly you are hiding things. Is my father really alive? Let's..." Where was the Musar? Where was the Teichacha? And Poshet, when the Pasuk says, "V'lo yachlu echav la'anu yisoysay ki nivalu miponav," it's because they just heard this rant, because they just heard a Musar Shmuz. No, they were just stunned. They were shocked. Poshet, Yosef revealed himself, and they couldn't believe it. They could not believe that this person that they were handling is really their brother Yosef, and that his dreams actually came true. But Chazal say no, it was a Musar Shmuz, and the reason for Yachlu Echav La'anu Yisoysay is because the Musar was so sharp. And if that's the case with a boss of Adam, Kal V'chayinu when it's going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so all the different Pshatim Ayadu of Ein Kam V'chayinu L'Harach. But I'll just tell you one hergish that I had learning the Gemara today, and that is, this goes down as the great Musar Shmuz of all time. And really, all the Achrayinu mutcha a little bit to understand what the Musar Shmuz even was. It's not clear. Right? No one knows. The Beis Halevi, the Chafetz Chaim, everyone has a pshat. But it's not even clear what the pshat was. So what came to mind was Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Eila ha-dvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael be'ivra yarden. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Yidim be'ivra yarden. Where was it? Ba'midbar, ba'arava, ma'osop, ben-parim, ben-toifel. V'lom v'chad says, these are pashat. That pasuk is like a geography class. So where was it exactly? It was here, it was there. That's pashat pshat. But Rashi quotes Chazal. First Rashi in Sefer Dvarim. L'fi she'em divrei teichachos. All the different places that Moshe Rabbeinu, that I mentioned this pasuk, were places that the Yidden did Averos. Therefore, it lefichach sasam es advarim v'hiskiram beremes mipnei kvoidon shal Yisrael. It's for that reason that the pasuk was so same, and it mentioned all the teichach of derech remes. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that you see from here how a person's supposed to give Musar. A person's supposed to give Musar Biramiza. People think that the most effective way to tell somebody off is by telling him off. You yell, you scream, you get bakas, you lace into him, you let him know what you think of him, and somehow that's going to change him. But we know today, progressively, that that doesn't really work. And the most effective way to do it is to come with honey and not by chasing after him. But even more specifically, the less you talk, the more effective it is sometimes. And if you could do it b'remiza, it's even more effective. Eila advar mashadiber moisha is all musr. There's not one word of musr, but it's all b'remiza. And it's coming to teach us that when you give musr, you're supposed to give musr b'remiza. The greatest musr shmuz ever given was given by Yosef HaTzadik. Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai. This was the most powerful, most profound rant ever given. And it's so sussum, it's so beremiza that we need our fingers and our thumbs to figure out what the musar even was. Because that is the way real musar is supposed to be given. It's supposed to make a point that's so powerful, that v'lo yachlu echav la'anus ki nivalu mipanav, but at the same time, it's so subtle. Ani Yosef ha'oida v'chai was so subtle, but at the same time, it was so powerful. Zok the Gemara v'ayta, Rabbi Lazar, ki mati la'haikra b'chi. Rabbi Lazar, when it comes to the following pasuk, he would cry. V'ayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Shmuel told Shaul, lomahir gastani lo'is lo'halis o'isi. Why are you doing this to me? Why do you cause me to come up? I was in a peaceful place and suddenly you made me very, very nervous. I'm suddenly very, very anxious. So what's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is Shaul is going to fight the Plishtim and he's not sure if he's going to be successful. And he tried all the conventional means of determining whether this was going to work out, the Urim V'Tumim, right? He tried everything and nothing worked. He had no idea. He didn't know how this was going to play out. So he decided there's only one Eitzah. He has to go to his Rebbe Shmuel. The problem is Shmuel wasn't alive anymore. So how do you contact the mace? So there are ways. Now, the ways that we know of are forbidden, very, very chamor. The Torah says this concept of oiv and yodoini, these are forms of kishiv that he is not allowed to go anywhere near. But at the same time, for whatever reason, Shaul tracked down a balas oiv and he used the medium of oiv, of kishiv, to bring down the neshama of Shmuel. So Shmuel suddenly gets called by this balas oiv and he's very, very nervous. And when he sees that it's Shaul, he says, why are you getting me so upset? Lama hir gastani? So the Gemara says like this, Umat Shmuel hatzadik, madach Shmuel detzadik, hayim siyarim en adin. He was very afraid of his din. Anu as, alachas kama v'kama. If Shmuel was so worried, us mortals, can you imagine how worried we need to be? Shmuel mahi. The chesed, the pasuk says, v'atoymer isha al Shaul. The woman told Shaul, Elohim ro'isi oilim. Oilim trey mashma. It sounds like Shmuel wasn't coming by himself. He was coming with somebody else. Tamar says, yeah, chad Shmuel. Shmuel was there. Ve'idach da'azal Shmuel va'aisi l'moshe v'hadeh. Shmuel went and he called Moshe, and Moshe was coming with him. Amar le, what was the reason? Because Shmuel went to Moshe, and he told Moshe, domachas v'shon l'dina mitva'ina. I'm afraid, I'm a little concerned that maybe they're calling me now to din, and if that's why they're calling me, so I can use a little bit of help. So he said, kum b'hadoi, come together with me. Why do I want you to come with me? Because I want you to testify the leka milsa the kasafta by raisa the leki amte. You're going to be my aid. You're going to be my witness that there's nothing that was written in the Torah that I wasn't mekayim. So when Rabbi Elazar would read this pasuk, he would cry. He would say, if Shmuel the tzaddik, Shmuel Hanavi was worried about his fate, lama hir gastani lahaloi soisi, mas Shmuel atzadik koye misyorim in adin, onu alachas kama v'kama. So those were the two psukim that would get Rabbi Elazar to cry. One was Parshas Vayigash, v'lo yochlu echov la'anu soisi ki nivalu miponov, and the other one was in Sefer Shmuel, that toimer isha al shol, elekim ro'isi oilim, v'yoymer Shmuel al shol, lama hir gastani lahaloi soisi. What's the tzad ha-shava between those two psukim? Rabbi Elazar, in both cases, is a little bit worried about Yom HaDin and Yom HaTeichacha. And he made a kal v'chomer. He said, if the brothers couldn't answer the Teichacha of Yosef, what's going to be after 120? And if Shmuel's worried about the din, what's going to be with us? So the Gemara continues. It says, Rav Ami, ki mati lahayk rabachi. Rav Ami, when he would come to the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says, yitim ba'afar piyo, ula yesh tikva. A person should put dirt in his mouth, literally. Maybe. Ula yesh tikva. Maybe there'll be some hope. Meaning a person did averis, and now he's trying to do tshuva. And midarkei atshuva, he's causing himself pain and suffering. Segufim, tanesim. He's putting offer in his mouth. Do that, and ulai, perhaps yesh tikva. Amas Rav Ami would say, kulei haiva ulai. Wow, all this, and it's only an ulai yesh tikva. You would think this is for sure going to work. Rav Ami kimati lahayk rabachi. Rav Ami came to a similar pasuk. He would cry. The pasuk says, bakshu es Hashem, kol anvei ha'aretz. All the anvei ha'aretz, they should all beseech Hashem. Hashem ishpate pa'alu. Bakshu tzedek, bakshu anova. Ulai tisosru b'yoyim af Hashem. If you can do all the right things, maybe you'll be protected in the day that our Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. The day of the af of Hashem. Amar, he said the same thing. Kulei haiva ulai. Rav Asi, whenever there's Rav Ami, there's almost always Rav Asi. Kimati lahayk rabachi. When he would come to the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says, sinu ra. The Ehevu Toiv. That Sigu Bashar Mishpat. Right, just what's this pasuk? Sinara, hate bad. Ehevu Toiv, love good. That Sigu Bashar Mishpat. And you should establish mishpat at the gate. Ulai, maybe Yechanan Hashem alikets zavok is she'erus Yisrael. Maybe by doing that, Hashem will have rachmanas. And again, he said, "Kulay haivu ulai." Wow, I'm doing all these good things. I hate bad. I love good. I mean everything. Mishpat am elach. Ulai kulay haivu ulai. Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara says, "Kimatay like Rabachi." Where Rabbi Yosef will come to the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says, "V'yesh nispe." Now this is a fascinating pasuk, which is going to launch a fascinating Gemara, which we don't have any time for. But it's definitely, from a philosophical perspective, a Gemara that requires a lot of beer, and a Gemara that's way above my pay grade. But Pashit, the pasuk says, V'yesh nispa b'loy mishpat. It's possible that a person could be taken away from this world, b'loy mishpat, even though really, he didn't deserve to be taken away from this world. Amar. So Rabbi Yosef, when he came to this pasuk, he would cry. He said, "Me ikud azab leizmane." It sounds like it's possible that a person really doesn't deserve to die, but yesh nispa b'lei mishpat. There's such a musag, there's such a concept that something's going to happen to him. And the Gemara says, "In there really is." Meaning Rabbi Yosef was bewildered by it, but the Gemara says that there really is such a concept, and the Gemara proves it with a maisa shahoya kachoya. Ki hadar Rabibi Barabaya have a shchiach gabei malach hamavas. Rabibi Barabaya used to spend time with the malach hamavas. Amalei l'shluchei, he once told his shliach, the malach hamavas did, so malach hamavas has people working for him. So he once told one of his guys, "I see li Miriam megadlas seyer nashya. Do me a favor, I want to take away the soul of Miriam, who's megadlas seyer nashya. She braids the hair of women." So the shliach went, and there was a mistaken identity, like with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So he goes, instead of taking Miriam, that's Megadla, Seya Nashia, he took Miriam, that's Megadla, not braids, but takes care of Dardiki, the Kleine Kindalach. So the Malchamava sees Miriam, Megadla, Dardiki. So he turned to his shliach, he says, "Can I mean, you can't do anything? Seriously? I know Miriam, Megadla, Seya Nashia, Amriloch. I told you to take the other Miriam. Why are you taking this one?" Amalei, he say, "Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, but Ahadra, let me go. I'll go bring her back. I apologize. Let me go take the right one." Amalei says, "No, it's too late. Once she's here in my clutches, she's not going back." So the shliach says, "You know, boss, how does this work? I don't understand. You're really not supposed to have her now. So like, how's this gonna work?" Or even better, he said, "How were you able to get her?" Right? I mean, the Gemara wants to know how the shliach was able to take her if really it wasn't her time. So Gemara says something fascinating. The Gemara says, "I'm an akita mitara b'yado." She was holding one of the kalim that I used to sweep the oven. And she was sweeping the oven. Shakla, so she took it to anchasag. And she put it on her foot and she burnt herself. Katcha, the Isra Mazel. As soon as she burnt herself, something happened to her Mazel. Vaisisa, and that's how he was able to get her. That's what the Gemara says. That's how he was able to get her. He was able to get her because she hurt herself. And once she hurt herself, she was in this compromised position. And because she's in a compromised position, now we can take this. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Barabaya." So Rabbi Barabaya again. He has this relationship with the Malach HaMavis. Malach HaMavis tells him this Maisa Shahayas. Rabbi said, "Issachal Rishusalem Evad Hachi." This doesn't sound like something you're allowed to do. Meaning, there has to be some protocols that you're obligated to follow in terms of doing your job in an honest way. This doesn't sound ethical. At the end of the day, this woman's not supposed to die. So how do you have a right to take her? Amalei. So the Malach HaMavis was alarmed and he said, "Like Sivi Yesh Nisba B'lai Mishpat." No, it's a pasuk. V'yesh nispa b'lei mishpat. Sometimes a person can be taken away, even though he doesn't deserve to be taken away. Amalei, so he told him back, "V'ksiv dar ha'ilich v'dar ba." But there's another pasuk that says, "Dar ha'ilich v'dar ba." Amar, he said, "You're right." Meaning, her dar hasn't come time to leave yet. But darina luhu, ana adamalu luhu l'dar. What I do is, I keep her until her dar is finished. Meaning, she doesn't die, but she's in this place until her dar is completed. V'hadam ashlimna le l'duma. And when her dar, whatever that means, is completed, I give her over to Duma. Duma's the shomer amesim, and then she's already not alive. Amalei, soif, soif, shnei mayavdis. What do you do with her years? Meaning, if this woman was supposed to live a certain amount of time, and now yesh nispa b'lei mishpat, she was taken away prematurely. So what happens with all those years that she was supposed to live? Amar, he said, "Ikut tzurim rabbanon, the mavra b'milei." If there's a tzurim rabbanon, that's mavra b'milei. If there's a tzurim rabbanon that was mavra midosav, my sifna luhulei v'havichilufei. What I do is I give the tzurim rabbanon those years that she was supposed to get. And he ends up living the years that this woman was supposed to live. So this is a very, very heavy idea of yesh nispa b'lei mishpat. The Gemara tells a story. There's a very, very famous Tosfos on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Dibur HaMaschol, have the Shchich Gabe Malach HaMoves, that sends us to a Gemara, Mesechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. If you want to know the rest of the story of who Miriam, that was Megadlus Seir Nashia, was. Now, if you look up that Gemara, you're not going to find it. And the reason you're not going to find it is because that Gemara is from the Chesreini Hashas. It's in the censored editions of the Talmud Bavli. If you have the Sefer, Chesreini Hashas, then you could find it, but otherwise the rest of the story is that Miriam Megadla Nashia was the mother of Yeshay Hanoitzri, the Ein Kan Mekoymoy Laharech. But either way, just two ha'aris as it relates to this Gemara. The first ha'ar is a Chsam Sofer, which is above all of our pay grades, but I just think it's worth at least mentioning it because it touches on something that we've seen a lot and specifically very, very recently. So the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Barabaya have a Shchiach Gabe Malach HaMoves. Rabbi Barabaya, he spent a lot of time with the Malach HaMoves. If you look in Rabbeinu Hanano, so Rabbeinu Hanano says that Rabbi Barabaya was Misasek Berias Hashedim. He was very involved in Re'ias Hashedim. And because he was very involved in Re'ias Hashedim, so he somehow delved into this heebie-jeebie. And that's what it means when the Gemara says that Havashchiach Kameh, that he used to spend time with him. The truth is, it's a Mefurash Gemara. It's a Gemara Mesechtes Brachis, Daf Vavam and Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing that there's a moment of time every single day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. And the Gemara says that if a person would know that time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, he would be able to curse someone. And if he did that, his curse would be very, very effective. In fact, the Gemara says that Bilam knew that Sman. Either way, that's the general context over there. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Barabaya Avad Hachi, Rabbi Barabaya got involved in one of these things in terms of figuring out some of this heebie-jeebie, the Itzik. And the Gemara says he was harmed. Bo Rabbon Rachmi Oleh, the Rabbon Davinthim, the Itzi, and he had a refu. But that's another Gemara in Shas, Brachas Davavam and Aleph, where you find that Rabbi Barabaya is engaging in these types of things, and it's a Rabbeinu Hananel right here in the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Hananel says that wasn't just a coincidence, but rather Rabbi Barabaya was Oisik in Re'i Ashedim. In that Gemara, he's involved in trying to figure out the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. In our Gemara, Havishchiach Gabe Malach HaMavis, he seems to have some sort of relationship with the Malach HaMavis. But the truth is, this idea that there were Amayuroyim that had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis, we just had recently. We had this at the very end of Masechtas Mayit Katan. The Gemara Mayit Katan, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, discussed different Amayram, that when it came time for them to die, they had a conversation with the Malach HaMavis. Right, the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar was eating truma, and all of a sudden the Malach HaMavis came and he wanted to take him away. So Rabbi Elazar says, you can't take me now. I'm eating truma now. If you're going to take me, I'm going to become mace. A mace is metama. It's going to be metama the truma. The truma is kaidish. You can't be metama the truma. The Gemara tells a story with Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi was once walking in the street, and all of a sudden, Malach HaMavis came, and he wanted to take him. So he told him, could you please give me 30 days after chazam my learning? Because there's a baskol in Shemayim that says, Ashrei Misha Bala Kama Tamud B'yadai. He says, he gave him 30 days, and then he came, Miktas Hayan Kekulai, right? He shows up mamish first thing in the morning. He says, we can wait until the end of the day, maybe. No, he came right away. The Gemara tells a story with Rav Sheshes. The Rav Sheshes met the Malach HaMavis in the street, and he said, I want to take you now. He says, like a behemoth? Behemoth gets slaughtered in the street. Go home, let's do this B'derech Kavod. And he listened to him, and he did it B'derech Kavod. The Gemara told the story with Rav, the Gemara told the story with Rav Nachman. So you have Amayroim that have a relationship with the Malach HaMavis. We've spoken a lot, we have read bites on this, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis. Gimel Dvarim Sochli Malach HaMavis. The Gemara and the Perek HaMadr Masechtes Ksubas. Like this famous Gemara's in Shas, where you find that there were Tanoim and Amayram, that they had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis. And the question is, what does this even mean? What does it mean, Shush B'nei the Malach HaMavis? They're friends with the Malach HaMavis, they have a relationship, that like on good terms? It just seems so Rachik Min HaSeichel. What does this even mean? So there's a Chsam Sofer, not surprisingly, and this is in Parshas Chukas, that says, a Yisoid, Al Pi Pnimiyas HaTaira. Again, it's above our pay grade, but just to have an idea on a premium level of a little bit what's going on. Now, the context of this Chsam Sofer is actually fascinating. It's in Parshas Chukas, and it's discussing the story of the Mei Meriva. So we're all familiar with the Mei Meriva and how after the Ptira of Miriam, so the Pasuk says, Vatoma Sham Miriam, right? Miriam died, and all of a sudden there was no water anymore to drink. Chazal say, because the water that the Yidden had in the Midbar, they had in the Schos of Miriam. And being that they had it in the Schos of Miriam, once Miriam passed away, so they no longer had the Be'er Shem Miriam, and that's why they suddenly needed water. And the Pasuk says, Ve'yakilu Moshe v'Aharon es'akol. Moshe and Aharon, they came together, El Pnei HaSala, and they said, we need water. Moshe's not sure what to do, so he goes to Hashem. Hashem sends talk to the rock. Moshe hits the rock, and the rest is history. There's a Yalkut Shemoini, a Medrash, that the Medrash says that after Miriam died, there was no water. And the Yidden, they're scrambling for water. Says the Medrash, Kivan shenistalik ha-be'er, as soon as the water went away, hischilu miskansen al Moshe v'Aharon. So the Yidden, they all gathered on Moshe v'Aharon. Shenema vayikalu al Moshe v'Aharon. Vayomoshe v'Aharon yoishvenu misablan al Miriam. But Moshe and Aharon, they were mourning. They were mourning Miriam. Their sister just died. They were ba'avelos. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bishvil sha'atem avelim yomusu b'tzama? Because you're sitting shiva now. So therefore, they should all die out of thirst. Amoid v'kach matcho v'shkiso eso edo v'es b'irim. You have a responsibility now to your people. This is not a time for avelos. Even though your sister died, you have to get up right now and you have to make sure that they're going to have water. So in this piece, this is not really negeya, the punchline, but can't not mention this. In this piece, the Chassam Sofer quotes what he heard from his Rebbe, the Hafla. And by the way, this Hafla is in Panim Yafis. And by the way, this Hafla was also quoted by the Chassam Sofer in one of his tshuvas in Evin HaEzer, in an intense tshuva. At the very, very end, he brings something that he heard from his Rebbe. So the Chassam Sofer, in a few places, quotes this from the Hafla, and it's also mentioned in the Panim Yafis. He says, a Dover Nifla. The Hafla says, now what does this Medrash mean? There was no water, but Moshe and Aharon were Avelim. And because they were Avelim, they weren't doing anything about it. And Hashem comes to Moshe and he says, what, you're just going to let them die? So the Hafla says that we know in Parshas Beshalach, it says also that after the Yidden left, they were in the Midbar. It says they went 3 days and there was no water. And you have the whole Parsha with Mara. Hashem tells Moshe what to do. And there's going to be water. There's going to be sweet water. Chazal say, what does it mean there was no water? There was no Torah. They went 3 days without Torah. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He was misakin Torah. He was misakin Kriyas HaTorah. So says the Hafla, when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, when Miriam passed away, Vatama Sham Miriam, all of a sudden there was no water. What does it mean there was no water? It means there was no Torah. The reason there was no Torah is because Moshe and Aharon were Avelim. And because they were Avelim, they couldn't teach Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu used to teach Torah to Aharon, and then Aharon taught it to his sons, like the Gemara says in Erevin. And that was the way Torah was disseminated. But Moshe and Aharon were sitting Shiva. And because they were sitting Shiva, so therefore, they weren't teaching Torah. And because they weren't teaching Torah, so in Mele there was no Torah. If there was no Torah, therefore there was no water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and Aharon, and he says, Moshe and Aharon, I understand you're sitting shiva right now, and that's why you can't teach Torah. But even though an Ovel's not allowed to learn Torah, but this one chelik in Torah he's allowed to learn. He's allowed to learn Hilchas Avelos. And the Chassam Sofer says that my Rebbe said b'zeh aloshin, you should teach them Perek ve'elu megalchin. This is what he says. Teach them ve'elu megalchin. That's something that you're allowed to learn. And the Chassam Sofer says, you're going to tell me there was no ve'elu megalchin then? My Rebbe said that just like the Gemara says, Avram Avinu had Mesechtas Avodah Zarah. He said Moshe Naharin had Perek ve'elu megalchin. And he said, go give Shir on the Elam Agalchin. And that was the Tfiyah, that was the Taina. An Ovel's not allowed to learn Torah, but there are areas of Torah that he is allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn the laws of Avelos. And this is something that you're supposed to do. But either way, that was a digression. So in this piece, the Chassam Sofer says like this. He says, what does it mean that you find that there were tzaddikim, that they had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis? What does that even mean? So he says like this. He says that a person was put down on this world to overcome his Yetzirah. This is the Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Aleph, Machay Vaseh Ba'ilama. We spoke about that in the raid yesterday. It's all about Nisyonis and overcoming a Yetzirah. Okay, so what does that mean? That means a person wakes up in the morning, he has a Yetzirah, he has a Yetzirah Tov. The Yetzirah is his evil inclination and is trying to get him to do things he's not supposed to do. And Lu'umas Dad, he understands that he has a Yetzirah Tov and he was put on this world for a purpose. And really, it's a battle. And it's a battle like every 5 minutes. That's what it is. A person has to constantly fight and he has to constantly battle with his Yetzirah. And that's our job on this world, to fight and fight and fight until eventually Soif HaKavod Lavo. But the Chassam Sofer says there's another way. There's another way. There's a way that a person can overcome his Yetzirah without having to fight his Yetzirah. And that is, if you can't beat him, join him. But in the reverse, not to join the Yetzirah, but actually come up with some sort of alliance with the Yetzer Hara, where you get the Yetzer Hara to come onto your side. Again, I have no idea what this means, but just the words. He said, this is the side of what Chazal meant when they said, "Impaga b'cham menuvel zeh." That if you ever come in contact with the menuvel, you schlep him around in Beis Medrash. Because by bringing it to Beis Medrash, now he's on your... Lerwin and Bechavrusa. You know what? We can't get along, clearly. But we're going to fight now for the next 100 years. So come on board and let's figure out a way to live together. Let's just figure out a way to make this work. Chasam Sofer says it's actually possible. And he says that when you understand this, you can understand the Gemara. Dvarim neflaim adlam oid. A Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, daf nun tes amid beis. The Gemara says like this, Tanya, Rav Shimba Menasya Oimer, Rav Shimba Menasya said, Chaval al shamish gadol sha'ava min oilam. He says, what a chaval that the world lost a shamish gadol. Shel mali niskalo nochosh, because had the nochosh not been cursed, kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael, every single yid hoi mizdam nun loish shnei nochoshim toivim. Every single person would have two nechashim. Echad meshagre l'tzofen, one he would send to tzofen, the echad meshagre l'darim, the other one he would send to darim. And what would be the purpose of this person? L'haviloi sandlaboinim toivim, v'avonim toivim, so margolos. Every person would have a staff. He would have two executive assistants. One he would send to Tzofen, one he would send to Darim, one's in the north, the other one's down south, and they're both doing business for him. But you know what happened? What happened was man sinned, and then the Nachash was cursed, and because of that, we don't have the ability anymore to tap in and to use the Nachash. So the Chasam Sofer said, who's the Nachash? We know who the Nachash is. He's the Nachash HaKadmoni. The Nachash is the animal that Chazal used to describe the Yetzer Hara. He said, in a perfect world, a person would be able to manipulate the Yetzer Hara. He would have the Yetzer Hara working for him. He would be Moshcheyul Beis Medrash. He would have him on his team. In fact, what he would do is he would have the Yetzer Hara that he would send to the Tzofen. What does it mean to the Tzofen? Haroitza Lahasher Yatzfen. He would be able to use the Yetzer Hara to help him in a Kashmiyistig way. He would also be able to send the Yetzer Hara to the Darim. And he'd be able to use him for his ruchnius as well. And that's really the way it could have, would have, should have been. Chazal say, Chaval al shamish gadol sha'avam min oilam. But he says that even though most Yidden today can't do this, but there is a midah of meishcheyu lebeis medrash. And there were yechidim that were able to use the Yetzer Hara. They had some sort of relationship with him, and that's the way they fought him. And he says, that's why you find tzaddikim that had a relation with the Malach HaMavis, because the Malach HaMavis is the Satan, he's the Yetzer Hara, it's all the same person, like the Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Bava Basra, and that's what that all means. That somehow they became shush b'nei the Yetzer Hara, because they were able to somehow join the Yetzer Hara and use the Yetzer Hara as a resource for them to be able to accomplish what it was that they wanted to accomplish. What does this have to do with Parshas Chukas? So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to talk to the rock. He ended up hitting the rock. And the Chasam Sofer says with his Soidus that hitting the rock meant that the way you're going to fight the Yetzer Hara is by hitting the Yetzer Hara. Talking meant Moshechei Lebeis Medrash. Chazal say, what was he supposed to tell him? Divrei Torah, Perek Echad, Aloch Achas. That's what it was supposed to be. And he somehow learns that up. Ayin Sham, Dvarim, Neflam, way above our pay grade. But just a glimpse into the Pnimiyus Inyan that there were tzaddikim that had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis, that had a relationship with the Satan. It's based on this notion that there's two ways for a person to overcome the Yetzer Hara. One is fight it, that we understand. The other is somehow join forces. I don't know what the manual for that is, but there were tzaddikim that were able to do it. There is such a concept, and that's a little bit of what Chazal are revealing to us when they told us about different tzaddikim, different amayroim. They had a relationship with the Malach HaMavis. Just a little bit of food for thought. But just to end with one other ha'ara that maybe we can understand a little bit better, although this is also above our pay grade, and that is the Gemara mentioned different psukim with different amayroim. When they came to this pasuk, they would cry. So one of them was Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar kimati lahaykra bachi. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, lo mehir gastani lahalos oisei. Why did you get me so anxious? Why did you bring me up?" And the Gemara says, "What was the rest of the story?" Shaul wasn't sure if he should fight against the Plishtim. He wasn't sure if he's going to be successful. So he tracks down a Baal HaSoiv. The Baal HaSoiv tracks down the Navi, the Neshama of Shmuel. And he goes to Shmuel and he says, Shmuel, what am I supposed to do? When Shmuel heard that he was being summoned, he got very, very scared. What was he afraid of? He was worried about Din V'cheshbon. And Rebbe Elazar, when he came to this pasuk, he cried. He said, Madach Shmuel HaNavi was afraid of his Din V'cheshbon. So much so, the Gemara says he went to call Moshe Rabbeinu that he should be his alibi. He should be there with him. So, Kal V'chomer, us, if when we're going to have to give Din V'cheshbon, Alachas Kama V'kama, and Rebbe Elazar was so moved by this pasuk that it literally brought him into tears, this was something that he used to cry. So our Gemara says that when Shaul summoned Shmuel, Shmuel thought he was about to be judged, so much so he got scared. He felt that he needed somebody with him. Who did he call? He called Moshe Rabbeinu. This Gemara here in Chagiga Daf Dal Amud Beis is also mentioned in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it's Perik Lamed Gimel, and over there the nusach is a little bit different. Over there it says Vehelsoloi Shmuel, the Balas Oiv called Shmuel, Va'olu Imay Acherim, and people came together with Shmuel. V'yesh Oimrim Tzadikim Harbe Kayoitze Boy, Olu Imay Ba'isasha. There were Tzadikim Harbe Kayotze boy that came with him. Our Gemara said he brought Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer sounds like he brought more than Moshe Rabbeinu. One pshat, achirim. The other pshat, tzadikim harbe that were kayotze boy. So the Radal, in his Pirush on Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, says, who were the tzadikim harbe? And what did he mean kayotze boy? So he says, Ulai, who he brought was Moshe and Aharon. Our Gemara says Moshe, but maybe it was Moshe and Aharon. And he says, what's the kayotze boy? Because we all know Moshe v'Aharon b'chayhanov. Shmuel was shakel to Moshe and Aharon. So he wanted to come to have to give Din V'cheshbon. So he brought not only Moshe, he brought Aharon as well. And he turns to the Eibishter and he's going to say, I'm shakel to Moshe and Aharon. You were made. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Moshe v'Aharon b'chayanav v'shmuel b'kayre shemoy. So who's going to come and stand next to him when he has to give Din V'cheshbon? What's he bringing in front of the Kisei HaKavod? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKoyen. Why? Because Shmuel's going to say, Moshe v'Aharon b'chayanav v'shmuel b'kayre shemoy. That's what the Radal says in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. That's maybe who the tzaddikim k'yotze boy were. Very meduya, k'yotze boy, because it's Moshe v'Aharon on the one side, and it's Shmuel b'kayre shemoy. But the Velt asks a very, very stark question, and that is, Shmuel wasn't alive at the time of this story, but he hadn't just died either. He had died a considerable time earlier. So the shaila is, why did Shmuel think he was being judged right now? Shmuel had passed away, and like every person, after a person dies, so there's a din v'cheshbon. So Shmuel had given din v'cheshbon already. So l'chur, if Shmuel had already given din v'cheshbon, why is he suddenly afraid now that there's going to be so? What kind of din was he afraid of? So I'll tell you a beautiful maramakim. The last brisker rov in Sefer Alatira. This is the very, very last griz. So it's on Eicha, right? It's on the whole Tanakh, the griz Alatira. It's not just on the Torah, it's on the whole Tanakh. And this is the very, very last piece. So he says, Dover ze shamati, come upon him. Mipi avi adoyni meiri v'rabi hagoyin Reb Chaim zeichet tzadik l'vracha. So the Briskerov said, I heard this from my father Reb Chaim, not once, but I heard it come upon him. He says, we know, the Rishonim say in the beginning of Perek Chelek, that at the end of days, meaning when Mashiach is going to come and it's going to be all over, there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, and at Tchias HaMesim, there's going to be a Mishpat, and every single person that ever lived is going to be judged. It's going to be a Yoim HaGadol VaHanoira. In other words, every person is judged twice. A person is judged after he dies, but there's going to be another judgment. There's going to be a judgment that's going to be a Yoim HaGadol VaHanoira, where every single person that ever lived is going to be judged again. So the Brisker Rav said that I heard from my father Reb Chaim, who used to say all the time, it was Margula Bepume, that what's the second Din V'cheshbon for? A person's judged once. Why does a person have to be judged the second time? So Reb Chaim said that the reason a person is going to be judged the second time is because a person is judged for what he does on this world. But the truth is, a person is not only judged for what he did, a person is judged for the outcome of everything that it is he did. Said Reb Chaim, it's impossible to know the full scope of the outcome of what a person does until the end of days. Until the world's going to be over, and all the hashpois and everything is going to come to an end, it's only then that a person's going to be able to know really, really what the taitzah of his maisim were. But until the end of days, the judgment to a certain degree is still pending. And the reason is because how do you know that something you did for the good or the bad may not have an impact on someone somewhere, someplace, hundreds of years later? I mean, just think about the Tanam and the Tzaddikim, Sefsoyf, David Vais Bekever. These are all Schusim and Schusim and Schusim. Every time we learn something from someone that lived in a free Degadar, that person's getting Tzchar. So it's true that when a person dies, there's a Din V'cheshbin, but really, you're not going to know the full scope of the Din V'cheshbin until the end of days. And Reb Chaim used to say, that's why there's going to be a Yoy Magod of Anoira. And that's why the Yoy Magod of Anoira is going to have to be Dafka at the end of days. Because it's only at the end of days that we're going to be able to properly understand what the outcome of everything that happened was. And it's only then that this Mishpat, this Yoy Magod of Anoira, is going to have to happen. This is what Reb Chaim said. So said the Briskerov that Yesh Loimar, Lefi Reb Chaim, maybe that's what Shmuel was worried about. Shmuel was worried that maybe the Yoim HaGodol VaHanoira is coming. And as a result, that's why he was afraid. He brings this Agav Urchi after he brings what he heard from his father Reb Chaim. But there's a classic Meshech Chachma that we've mentioned in the past. The Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush on this as well. The Meshech Chachma is in Parshas Netzavim. And the Meshech Chachma says, again, Lulei de Mestafina, this is not something we could say, but this is something that our Meir Simcha says. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yoinesen, Kol Omar B'nei Shmuel Chatu, anyone that says that the children of Shmuel sinned, Ein Eilatai. He's making a mistake. Now, why would somebody think that the children of Shmuel sinned? What did Shmuel's children ever do that you would think that they were chayte? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayikach shezaken Shmuel." When Shmuel was older, "Vayasem as bon of shayftim liYisrael." He appointed his sons as shayftim. But v'loy holchu bon of bedrachov. His sons did not follow in his footsteps. "Vayitu acharei habotza." "Vayikru shoychad." "Vayatu mishpat." That's what the pasuk says. Says the Gemara, "Amr Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Rav Yoinesen, kolo Amr bnei Shmuel chatu eni elotoya." Aye, what do you mean? It says in the pasuk. So he said, no, the Torah says, Bidrachav leholchu. They weren't like their father. But to say that they sin, that already not. But Chazal were already megalitas that the Bnei Shmuel maybe didn't behave 100% the way that they were supposed to. Leholchu Shmuel Bidrachav. So Rameh Simcha says that Shmuel passed away. And he died at Tzaddik. But at the same time, he knew that his sons were leholchu Bidrachav. And he was a little bit worried about his sons. And the reason he was worried, because he was afraid that maybe his sons would do something that would be deemed to be his fault and his responsibility, and as a result, he would be judged for it. Something would happen to him because of what happened to his children. So he said when they came to call him, Shmuel knew he had his din v'cheshbon, but he was afraid they were coming to rejudge him. And the reason is because maybe his sons did something, and maybe it's because of what his sons did that he's being judged all over again. And that's why he got so scared, and he said, why did you scare me like this? He thought that they were coming to punish him, maybe for something that had happened with his children. Not with himself, but something with his children. So then Rav Meir Simcha says, so why did he call Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did you go bring Moshe Rabbeinu? Rav Meir Simcha says, a pshat. Pshat based on a medrash. But I was thinking, that lulei de mistafina, maybe we could add to what Rav Meir Simcha said. Why did he call Moshe Rabbeinu? And this is based on a ksav soifer. The ksav soifer is in Parashas Lach Lecha. And the ksav soifer says, why is it that you find that the Ovis HaKadoshim, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right, you find that they struggle to have children. For sure, Avram and Yitzchak, and even Yaakov with Lavan and everything. But you find that it was always a struggle. He says, why was it that the Ovis had a difficult time raising a family? So listen to what he says. V'yesh loimar, because Hashem knew that if they were going to have children, what would happen is yashkiach al banav, they would end up having to raise their children, put koiches into their children, v'lo yalami demacherim kol kach, and they wouldn't have the ability to really be there for everybody else. V'im yalami demacherim, and if, despite the fact they had children, they would spend so much time with everybody else, it would be very difficult for them to be mashkiach habonav kol kach. This is in the Ksav Sofer, right in the beginning of Parashas Lach Lecha. Says the Ksav Sofer, you want a mocker to this? I'll give you two makayers. You find this by Shmuel, that mipnesh es asik b'tzarchei tzibur, because he was asik in tzarchei tzibur, like holchu b'na b'drachav. V'chein Matziru says, I have another makar, b'bnei Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was also loy niach ben kemoisa. And you know why? It's because he was oisim b'tzarchei tzibur. So therefore, what the Eibishter did was, he purposely made it that the Avos should be able to establish themselves before they had a family. So like this, when they had a family, it wasn't a problem. And he says, that's why it ended up not being an issue. This is what the Ksav Sofer says. Dvarim Niflaim. The Ksav Sofer repeats this in a few different places, in different contexts. One of the places he talks about it is in Parsha Shemini by Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, Chazal say, didn't have any children. They weren't a kind of mitzvah period of Rivya, and in some chazals, that's actually the reason that they were taken away prematurely. So the question is, why? Why did they have any family? So the Ksav Sofer says, Al Derech Zeh. He says, because they saw their father Aharon, had a family, and he put a lot of koiches into his family. And they felt that because Aharon put so much koiches into his family, even though Aharon became Aharon HaKoyen, but he never really reached his potential. You know, reached his potential? Moshe Rabbeinu reached his potential. But says the Ksav Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu's children didn't go in his way. And they thought that it's a contradiction, it's a stira. It's impossible for a person to reach his full potential and at the same time for a person to put himself out there for Yenim 100% as well. And they were worried about the balance and they weren't sure what to do. So they made a decision, an executive decision, that they're not going to have a family like this. They'll be able to shteig, they'll be able to reach their full potential. It was a mistake, Chazal say. And it's for that reason, right, we know about the Misa of Nadav and Avihu. It's one of the great mysteries in Jewish history. But the point is, says the Ksav Sofer, this verse, that a person that puts himself out too much, sometimes if he can't balance himself properly, then maybe it can come at the impact. It can come at the expense of their own children. And he says there's two rayas to this. One raya is Shmuel, and the other raya is Moshe Rabbeinu. So lefi zeh, maybe it's mamish kemin chaymer. Rami Simcha said, yeah, why was Shmuel worried? He was worried about his children because the Gemara says in Shabbos Nunhei that. But why would you make the mistake? Because on some level they were chaytach, as I'll say already. So therefore there was something over there. And he thought that maybe something happened with his children, and as a result, because maybe he's being punished. So Shmuel starts scrambling and he starts thinking, what am I going to do? So he quickly says, I have one eitz, I'm going to bring Moshe Rabbeinu with me. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was in the same exact predicament. Again, I can't believe we're saying this, but the Ksav Sofer says this, and Rami Simcha says this, that it's based really that Moshe Rabbeinu was also Lo'yinich ben Kamoisai. And because he was Lo'yinich ben Kamoisai, and why was it? Because he was so Isaac for the Tzibur, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Doch Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu is perfection. So if this was Moshe, that means it is perfect, because that's the Mahalach, that's the Richtige Zachweis for someone on that caliber. So Shmuel said, I'm bringing Moshe. Because if you see by Moshe Rabbeinu, this was something that was okay, that's going to be his alibi. His alibi is going to be, he's going to have Moshe Rabbeinu together with him. But either way, this was why Shmuel HaNavi was so scared. And this was why he brought Moshe Rabbeinu, because he thought that having Moshe Rabbeinu next to him, that's the Tana de Messiah Yaleh. That's what's going to hopefully be able to make his case in front of the Kisei HaKavod.